we train on 17s, and basically for the crew there wasn't that much to do. It was just strictly for the pilots and the engineer and co-pilot and radio operator and navigator. Those were the ones that were getting that. We just sat there, nothing to do. I joined a baseball team there. I had fun doing that, so I got out of a few things. But I enjoyed that a lot. In fact, I pitched against Joe Gordon.
Really?
Yeah. I have the honor of having him hit the longest ball I've ever seen in my life. I had two strikes on him, and Cocky Carnig thought I would slip him by him. I said, man, I had a good fastball. My fastball is nothing like these fastballs. Well, he swung, and that ball went. The outfielders just looked. They haven't found it yet. I never saw in my life at that period of time a ball hit that far. I was mesmerized. I said, my God, that was beautiful. And so anyway, from there, we got our cruise, as I said. And you want to know some funny things that happened?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah? Oh, all right. As I told you, it's pretty dull for the guys. And all the other crews would fly off, do their mission. And sometime or other, they'd stop off at some city, presumably out of gas or low or something, and, you know, engine trouble. They're a little doubtful, so they don't want to. And they'd have a overnight. Our pilot was gung-ho. He was a fabulous pilot. This guy, Doc Tramer, he was a veteran of B-24s down in South America. Mm-hmm. And, oh, he was terrific. God bless him. But we had the perfect record. One day, we got together, and we took the co-pilot in with us, you know. We said, what do you think? We said, when we go over, we had a mission to go over Tucson. Well, you got to go over mountains, then come down, you know. And you need oxygen then on 17s, not 29s. So we said, we'll put full force oxygen all the way on the mission. When we come back, the flight engineer will look, you know, we're low on oxygen. We got to go. Well, he says, okay, so we land. Well, stupid us, we all had our suntans. We jumped out with our suntans, not fatigues. The pilot took one look at us. I don't want to say what he said, but he was red livid. You get back another day. He got the guys to fill up the tanks. We took off within half an hour. We were up and over. We had our tails between our legs. We just blew it. We should have come in with fatigues. You know, yeah. We were going to go into town, have a ball. God, it was so funny. So anyway, that was done. We got back and kept our record intact. So then we went from there to Wichita, Kansas, where we picked up our ship. And we finally had our own ship, brand new, right off the line. So we had to put some time in on it, in and around, get the pilot to get used to it and all that, because we're going to fly it overseas. We did all that, and we got familiar with the guns and all that stuff. And one time I crawled through the tunnel. It's all pressurized. You don't need oxygen. And at 30, 40,000 feet, you don't have to wear it.
What a luxury it must have been compared to be.
Oh, no question about it. So there was a tunnel, about yay big. You know, you can crawl through from the back to the front, and it's all pressurized. So you crawl through the tunnel, going, hi, you guys. Oh, hi, Tommy. They called me Tommy at that time. And I said, geez, I went up and looked at the thing. So the pilot said, do you want to sit down here? And Chet Paul got up out of his co-pilot seat. I said, sure. Sure. Little kid with a toy. He says, God, what? Oh, that's your pedal, that rudder. This, you go on. And then your throttle's over here. And then he went like this. He said, go ahead. So I'm looking at the dials and things, you know. And I happened to look up. Oh, I said, there's clouds coming up. He said, "You want to take over?" I said, "You want to take over?" He said, "You're flying instruments now. You never, I haven't taken your eye off the instruments. You might as well go through the clouds." They all kidded me, but that was a funny thing. So what was the difference? You're looking at the instruments anyway. But that was something. Boy.
So how many guys were in the crew?
So there were 11 fellows in the crew. There was a pilot, co-pilot, navigator, engineer, bombardier, radio operator, and so that makes 6 in front. And then in the back, left gunner, right gunner, central fire control. He was sat in between us up the top, and tail gunner, and then a radar operator that was in between the tail and the and our compartment. There was another compartment, and all dark, no windows, and he was did the radar. A little lonely spot. I don't know why he would want a job like that. Anyway, so that's the way we flew. So we went to. We finally put the proper amount of hours in, whatever they were, I forget, about 25, 50 hours, I don't know. And it didn't take long. And, my good friend Vernon Henning, he was very close to me. We got to be very good friends. And he was a central fire control fellow. And his father lived in Kansas, Concordia, Missouri, which is just on the corner where all the things get together, the states there. And we were very close, so he came, drove over, and he saw us. He was a tall, lean, Midwestern, blue eyes. Oh, geez. Nice old gentleman. I'll never forget him. Yeah. You know, he put his arms around us like this, and he... Jeez, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, God. I can't. Said, take care of one another. No. And it was so... Oh. And, he's such a nice gentleman. We said, Well, Vernon never made it out, you know, he never made it out of the plane.